assured Sabrina.
Yes, you do, Jenna agreed.
It looks goofy, if you ask me, Pete said, reaching for another piece of pizza.
Pete, I don't think anyone's going to recruit you to join the fashion police, Jenna told him.
That made him frown, and Sabrina snicker. The night ended well, with a movie on TV, popcorn, and root beer floats. Life was looking up on the home front at last, and the following day Sabrina would be meeting Nora's granddaughter. Thank God her daughter would have one of her own kind to hang with. Jenna would soon have one less thing to worry about. The next morning, it looked like Aunt Edie was recovered from the trauma of the day before. She'd made a French toast casserole for breakfast and was dressed in her favorite jeans with the elastic waistband and a pink sweatshirt about the color of Sabrina's hair.
Peach Babes is having a sale today, she said as she and Jenna drank their morning coffee together. I thought you might like to go.
Not particularly, but Jenna knew her aunt would, so she said,
That sounds like fun. Nora's coming over with her granddaughter later, so how about we go right after lunch?
That will be lovely. I'd like to get a new sun hat.
And so, after lunch, Jenna and her aunt wandered into the shop in search of the perfect hat. In spite of the lure of an offer of 25% off on all merchandise, the shop wasn't exactly packed. One window shopper was just leaving, empty-handed, as they came in and a couple of older women stood in a corner by the window, checking out sweatshirts with cats on them. Aunt Edie wouldn't be buying one of those. She forgot her quest for a hat and drifted over to a sale rack hung with pastel slacks, all with elastic waists. Jenna decided to go say hi to Courtney, who was at the cash register at the back of the store. She stopped halfway when she realized Courtney was having a discussion with her boss, Susan Frank.
I've asked you before, and I don't want to have to ask you again, Susan said sternly. I need you to wear some of the things we sell here. I don't understand why it's so hard to comply with that request when I give you an employee discount.
I'm sorry, Susan, Courtney said. If Jenna hadn't seen her, she wouldn't have believed it was Courtney talking. Courtney hadn't struck her as a meek woman.
At least wear a scarf, Susan continued. Go pick one out and try to talk up those beach bags. We need to move them.
Yes, Susan.
Courtney started for the scarves and caught sight of Jenna gawking. A flood of red crept up her neck and onto her cheeks. Hi, Jenna. Can I help you find something?
Aunt Edie's looking for a hat over in the slacks section, Jenna said in an attempt to lighten the moment.
I'm thinking I need a scarf.
She needed to buy something.
Courtney nodded and led her over to the scarves, while Susan, who had seen Edie, was now busy selling her on a pair of slacks.
Does that happen a lot? Jenna asked in a low voice.
Often enough, Courtney frowned. What circle of hell is it where you have to wear the ugly clothes your boss sells? I hate working here.
Maybe you should quit, Jenna suggested.
I can't afford to. I'm stuck.
Ironic that Courtney was always after Annie to leave her husband, yet she couldn't leave her job. Jenna bought a scarf. Nora came over late that afternoon with her granddaughter Caroline, and bearing ice cream and hot fudge sauce and a can of whipped cream.
I can have ice cream any time I want, Caroline bragged to Sabrina as they settled around the kitchen table with their treats.
That has its drawbacks, Nora said. I'm walking proof. Remember when I was skinny? She said to Aunt Edie.
You were too thin, Aunt Edie informed her.
No danger of that now, Nora joked.
I'm never getting fat, Caroline announced.
She pulled out a cell phone and took a picture of her sundae.
Ice cream whenever I want. My friends are going to be so jealous.
Then, with that out of the way, she turned her attention to Sabrina.
I like your hair.
Oh, yes. These two were going to be good friends.
We just did it yesterday, Sabrina said.
I want to dye my hair, but my mom says dark hair doesn't dye very well.
Caroline scowled at her ice cream.
I think I will anyway.
Not until you check with your mother, said Nora.
Caroline shrugged.
She won't care.
She shoved aside her half-consumed sundae and said to Sabrina,
Come on, let's go up to your room.
Okay,
Sabrina said, and they vanished.
What a waste of ice cream, Nora said. She pulled her granddaughter's bowl over and began to eat it. I know, she said between mouthfuls. I'm an addict.
I can think of worse things to be addicted to, Aunt Edie told her.
Me too, Jenna said, as Seth's little sister came to mind. Thanks for bringing it, she added. My hips thank you too. Not. I know, I couldn't resist. It looks like the girls have hit it off.
Yes, it does. Thank heaven. Maybe now I won't have to hear about how bored Sabrina is and how much she misses her father.
Girls and their daddies, Nora said.
This daddy doesn't deserve her, Jenna said.
No way did he deserve to have anyone think he was a loving father.
He's balked at the idea of me bringing her up to visit, and he sure hasn't said anything about coming down here to see her.
That man's a disgrace, put in Aunt Edie.
But her mom more than makes up for it, Nora said, putting them back in positive conversational territory.
I'm trying, Jenna said. I really want her to be happy here.
You have to have gotten major mommy points with the hair, Nora said to her.
Oh, yes, and I have to admit, it is cute, and I'd rather her have that than gauges in her ears.
That will be next, Nora predicted, or at least a nose ring.
I'll probably let her do that down the road, but right now she's too young. She was too young for a lot of things, including taking a bus all the way to Seattle to see her dad, which was her latest plan. Barely 14, going on 20.
Was Jenna being too overprotective?
She didn't think so. Surely with kidnappers, perverts, and terrorists everywhere, there was no such thing.
Nora checked her watch. I should dash back and see how everything's going at the parlor. Want me to leave Caroline here for a while?
Great idea, Jenna said.
I'm sure they're both enjoying time together on their devices, Nora said with a grin and a shake of her head.
Probably, Jenna agreed.
We're going to dinner at the porthole at 6. How about I pick her up a little before?
Sounds good.
Nora left, and Edie decided to relax with her latest gory mystery novel, and Jenna, with some free time, headed for the beach. She found Seth at the water's edge, a bucket by his side and a fishing pole in the water.
Catch anything? She called as she walked up to him.
Crab in a pot.
He gestured to the plastic bucket next to him. Sure enough, there was a crab trying to make its way out.
I've never seen anyone fishing for crab, she said.
You can buy a collapsible trap to put on the end of a pole, he said. Gonna build a fire and cook me some crab. Wanna join me?
I never turn down free crab. How about I start the fire?
Deal.
An hour later, he had two crabs killed and cleaned, and they were dipping cooked crab and butter melted in an old iron pot at the edge of the fire.
I never get tired of being out in the open air, he said, looking out to sea.
She could only imagine what that felt like after having been deprived of his freedom for so many years. You're doing a good job of making up for lost time.
I'm trying.
He pulled some more meat from a shell, leaned over and dredged it through the butter, then popped it in his mouth with a satisfied sigh.
When I was in high school, a couple of buds and I would go north and camp at the beach. Dig clams, catch crab, good times.
His smile faded. Have you heard from them since? High school? She already knew the answer. He shrugged.
Nope. Haven't heard from any of my old friends. Guys aren't like women. They don't keep in touch.
Especially when one of them was alleged to have shot someone.
New town, new friends, he said.
New start, she added, thinking of her own life. Do you ever think about making up for lost time by finding someone and settling down?
I was settled down for a lot of years. Anyway, how did that marriage thing work for you?
She made a face at him and he chuckled.
I rest my case.
He sobered.
There's more than one kind of prison, Jenna.
She made a mental note later as she walked back to the house not to fall for Seth Waters. He was not in the market. Brody probably was,
and she had to admit she was drawn to him as well.
"Don't fall for any man," she lectured herself. There was a reason she wasn't in the market either. These days, the man market was full of cheats and liars. It was no place for a nice, not to mention dumb and trusting, girl like her. Chapter 15.
To do: install new carpet. Get pictures made into canvas prints for rooms. Stop by Sunken Treasures. See Tyrella for massage at 4. Wish somebody could give me one. Pick up Caroline. Life at the beach was getting busy. The rooms at the Driftwood Inn were finally all painted, and carpet installation happened on Monday. While the carpet man worked on installing, Jenna dropped off a thumb drive with some of her favorite pictures that Sabrina had taken at Beach Memories, pictures and framing. Then she made a run to Sunken Treasures consignments, where she did, indeed, find a lot of treasures. A couple of glass lamps stuffed with seashells, a lamp shaped like a lighthouse, another with a base shaped like a blue crab that was so pretty she hated to not keep it for herself. She snapped up a few framed posters from past sand and surf festivals, and she also found a couple of nautical-themed queen-size bedspreads, as well as a couple of sets of sheets, which would save her a little money on linens. Surely every little drop in the proverbial bucket added up. The rooms were going to be funky and cute by the time she was done decorating them. She left the shop feeling downright excited. Until she drove into the parking lot and the blue tarp roof greeted her.
Sigh.
"I have got to find a way to get that gone," she said to Tyrella when she came in later for a massage.
"You will," Tyrella assured her. "Something's going to break for you. I just know it. I've been praying, and girlfriend, when I pray, things happen."
As if in cue, right after Tyrella left, Celeste called. "Stock up on the chocolate. Vanita and I are coming down for the weekend, and we're going to get you the money you need for your new roof."
"Oh? How are you going to do that?"
"You'll see."
Oh boy, what crazy scheme had her sister cooked up?
"Anyway, this is the Sand and Surf Festival, right? I haven't been to that in years. We can build a sandcastle and find a pirate for Vanita."
"No pirate for you," Jenna teased.
"No, you can't stop a sexy cop who likes to dance."
"I'm surprised you're not busy with him this weekend."
"He had to work. Anyway, even if he didn't, I was coming down. I need a sister fix."
So did Jenna. It would be great to see her sister and one of her girlfriends and introduce them to the new friends she was making at the beach.
"Make sure you get down here by 7 so you can come hang out with the gang. We're painting tiles."
"Oh, fun."
Yes, it would be. "Speaking of fun, I have to go pick up Sabrina's new beach buddy."
"She found a friend? Yay!"
Yay was right. Jenna said goodbye to her sister and went to Nora's house to pick up Caroline, who was coming for dinner. It was 5:15 when she got to Nora's house, a few minutes later than she'd intended. Caroline met her at the door.
"You're late."
Getting scolded by a 14-year-old was a little off-putting, but the kid was right.
"Yes, I am," Jenna admitted.
"Oh, well, my mom's always late, too. I'm used to it," Caroline said and breezed past her.
"How are you enjoying Moonlight Harbor?" Jenna asked as they drove to the house.
"It's okay. My grandma made me help dish up ice cream at the parlor today."
"A regular teenage workaholic."
"So, you didn't get to ride the go-karts or play in the arcade?"
"Oh, yeah, that was okay."
Damning with faint praise.
"You'll have to visit something fishy."
"We do that every time we come here," said Caroline, and might as well have added, "ho-hum."
Jenna tried again.
"Well, you can't go wrong going to the beach."
"I guess."
They pulled into the parking lot and Caroline pointed to the blue tarp on the roof.
"That looks like the part of town where all the mobile homes are. My dad calls it Blue Tarp City."
"Blue Tarp City. Charming."
"It's temporary until we can get the roof repaired."
"Yeah, it's kind of an old place. I bet it gets lots of leaks," Caroline said and hopped out of the car. Honesty was a good thing, Jenna reminded herself, but a girl could get too much of a good thing. As soon as they were in the house, Caroline disappeared upstairs to hang out with Sabrina, and Jenna went to the kitchen to see if she could help Aunt Edie.
Is our guest here? Aunt Edie asked.
Yes, she's upstairs with Sabrina.
I'm so glad Sabrina has someone to keep her company, Aunt Edie said.
Me too, said Jenna. I think. Pete had grilled burgers on Aunt Edie's ancient barbecue out on the back porch, and Aunt Edie had made potato salad, deviled eggs, and cooked up some corn on the cob. Caroline wrinkled her nose at the sight of the platter of burgers.
I'm a vegetarian.
Oh, brother, Pete said, shaking his head.
Caroline frowned at him. Eating dead animals is gross. I mean, you wouldn't want to eat your bird, she informed Aunt Edie.
Ew, said Sabrina,
and Roger, who was on his kitchen perch, supervising the meal as usual, began his request for whiskey. Jenna didn't blame him.
Do you have any veggie burgers? Caroline asked Aunt Edie.
Sorry, Pete said before Aunt Edie could offer to make up a special order. We're into dead animals here. Have some potato salad.
Caroline shrugged and helped herself to a large serving, along with several deviled eggs.
Can you eat those? Jenna asked.
I don't want to be rude.
Too late, Pete said, frowning at her.
Ah, yes, the old pot calling the kettle black. How about a PBJ? Jenna offered. Caroline wrinkled her nose.
No, thanks. I haven't eaten those since I was a kid.
Jenna gave up and decided their guest would have to be happy with potato salad. Caroline directed the conversation at dinner, telling everyone about her parents' cool house on Lake Taps and regaling them with her family's vacation plans.
Mom and Dad are coming down here for the 4th of July. They always do. Mom says my grandma expects it, so we have to.
Being here for the 4th of July is a treat, said Aunt Edie. Picnics, beach fires, fireworks. Uncle Ralph loved his fireworks, she said to Jenna.
Yes, he did, Jenna agreed, thinking fondly of those childhood holiday celebrations.
Caroline didn't appear that impressed.
After that, we're going to Disneyland.
I've never been to Disneyland, Sabrina said wistfully,
and Jenna vowed to find a way to get her there before she graduated. Maybe a high school graduation present. Could she save enough money by then?
You've never been to Disneyland? Seriously?
Caroline was shocked.
Big deal, Pete sneered. It's all fake. Fake castles, fake jungle, a big expensive ripoff.
Caroline stared at him as if he'd just uttered blasphemy. Aunt Edie, always the diplomat, said,
Well, I think it's time for some dessert. Who'd like chocolate chip cookies?
Cookies were consumed, and then Aunt Edie suggested a game of cards.
Good idea, Jenna said. Let's get the table cleared.
Sabrina got up and began to collect plates. Caroline stayed put and sipped on her lemonade.
Aren't you going to help? Sabrina asked her.
I'm company. I don't have to,
Caroline replied, further endearing herself to Jenna.
Well, we like our company to feel right at home, Jenna said with a smile, and handed her a plate.
Caroline didn't smile back, but she got the message and got busy helping clear the table. As soon as the dishes were stowed in the dishwasher, she said to Sabrina,
Come on, let's go up to your room.
And the two girls vacated the kitchen. Aunt Edie looked disappointed.
I thought they'd like to play a game.
You know teenage girls, Jenna said. They like to be by themselves.
You never did, Aunt Edie said. You and your sister liked to do things with the grown-ups.
I still do, Jenna said, putting an arm around her. Let's play some canasta.
That perked her aunt up, and the rest of the evening went pleasantly.
How was she? Nora asked when she arrived at 9 to pick up her granddaughter.
She was fine, Jenna lied.
No sign of those aliens?
Well,
Nora shook her head.
She was such a sweet little girl. Oh, well, if we can get her to 20 without killing her, we'll be fine.
Jenna smiled at that and called up the stairs for Caroline, which brought both girls bouncing down.
See you tomorrow, Caroline said to Sabrina.
We're going to the beach, Sabrina explained.
Instant friendship. Jenna had wanted her daughter to find someone to hang out with. She only wished she could have found one with better manners. Caroline did thank Jenna for having her over, though, and without prompting, which made her grandmother smile. Maybe the aliens hadn't quite taken over yet. With a friend to hang out with, Sabrina seemed happier. She even pitched in without complaining when they started moving furniture back into the rooms the next day. Which was more than Jenna could say for Pete, who made mention of elder abuse more than once.
You're gonna kill me, he informed Jenna.
You're too tough to die, she said. Come on, pick up your corner of the mattress and let's get moving. After lunch, Sabrina disappeared, and not surprisingly, Pete did too.
The guy's useless, Seth said later, as he and Jenna walked to the office to fetch a bed frame. How did you end up with him, anyway?
Aunt Edie adopted him.
Is there something between them?
Aunt Edie and Pete? At their age? Oh, there was an image she'd never get out of her mind. She's got to be 10 years older than him.
After a certain point, age doesn't matter.
Did Aunt Edie have the hots for Pete? It would certainly explain how well she treated him, and the fact that he'd had a key. But... no. If there was something between them, he'd be living in the house instead of one of the rooms.
Maybe. Or maybe your aunt didn't want you to know she was fooling around. Maybe she didn't want anyone to know.
Jenna frowned at him. You've got a sick mind. You know that? He chuckled and shrugged.
Hey, you'd be surprised how many of my grandma's friends are shacking up. That way, they each get to keep their Social Security benefits.
Aunt Edie would never do that, Jenna informed him. Uncle Ralph was the love of her life.
And he's been dead how long?
No way would she be with Pete. She's got better taste than that.
With women, you never know. You're not half as picky as men.
If you mean we don't look on the outside the way you do, then true. Well, theoretically, anyway. Nothing wrong with a nice set of pecs and a six-pack. He grunted.
Plus, you're all too trusting.
He was right there. She'd trusted Damien, believed him when he said he was out looking for materials for his sculptures. He'd been out looking, all right.
Oh, well, said Seth. The old guy isn't much help anyway.
Not with his bad back. He wrenched it when we were moving a mattress, and now he won't be able to move for a week. I'm sure he'll recover enough to be able to get to the house for dinner tonight, though. Sure enough, he showed up just as Aunt Edie was putting on some hot dogs to boil, groaning and moaning from his morning's labors, of course. Jenna was too tired to groan and moan. She ate a hot dog, took a hot bath, and climbed into bed to read more advice from Muriel Sterling. Starting over can be hard work, Muriel wrote. But in the end, it always pays off. You'd better be right, Jenna muttered. She tossed the book aside and managed to turn off her bedside lamp with only a small groan. No dreams for her that night. No pirates fighting over her. Just as well. She was too tired to entertain. The next couple of days were filled with working on putting things to rights in the motel, and Jenna was pleased with how the rooms were turning out. Yes, most of the bedspreads were still a disgrace to bedspreads, but the new carpet and paint went a long way toward making everything look better. She'd have to order more bedding before they opened for business and get the pool functional. And down the road, she'd need to upgrade the flooring in the bathrooms, but for the moment, she'd have to be content with what she'd managed. She avoided looking at the roof on Friday afternoon when she made her way back to the house to shower. She'd already had enough ugly for one day when she'd written out Damien's check that morning. She wasn't going to add to it by thinking about that four-letter word, roof. Not with her sister and friend due to arrive soon. She was going to have fun and enjoy her weekend, and Herbie's written estimate could stay in her desk drawer where she'd stuck it. Once she'd cleaned up, she made some brownies for the evening's entertainment.
"Those sure smell good," said Pete,
who'd followed his nose to the kitchen shortly after she'd taken them out. That was what she got for not locking the back door. Much as Pete irritated her, she didn't have the heart to deny him a brownie. She cut one off and handed it to him on a napkin. Good grief. She was turning into Aunt Edie. He frowned.
Only one?
These are for the women tonight.
They're probably all on diets, he said.
She caved and gave him another small one. No more, she said in her firm, mommy voice.
Fine, he muttered, and helped himself to some milk.
If Pete deserved brownies, so did the man who was doing most of the work around there. She cut two generous pieces for Seth and put them on a paper plate.
Who are those for? Pete demanded.
Seth?
How come he gets such big pieces?
Because he does most of the work. And don't you be sneaking into those while I'm gone, she said as she left the kitchen. She caught Seth just leaving his room, all showered up and wearing jeans and a shirt rolled up at the sleeves, flip-flops on his feet. He smelled spicy and yummy. Looks like you're ready for a night on the town, she said.
Got a pool game at the Drunken Sailor.
He pointed to the plate.
What's this?
Your reward for going the extra mile and helping me. I'd have brought more, but I have to save something for when Aunt Edie's friends show up.
This is enough.
He took the plate, picked up a brownie, and bit into it.
Good,
he said around a mouthful. Thanks. It's a family recipe.
Haven't had home baking in years, he said, and popped the rest in his mouth.
Poor Seth. He'd paid in so many ways for his little sister's crime. I'd better get back, she said. My sister's coming in with one of my friends, and they should be here any minute. He nodded in the direction of a white Prius pulling into the parking lot.
Looks like any minute's here.
Jenna had missed seeing her sister, but she didn't realize how much until she saw Celeste's car pull in. Celeste screeched the car to a halt, then hopped out and with a squeal ran for Jenna. As always, she looked adorable wearing a flirty sundress that showed off her curves, her hair and makeup perfect. Jenna found herself wishing she'd at least done something with her nails. She was a mess. Celeste didn't seem to notice. You look super buff, she said after they'd hugged. Hulking around mattresses and dressers and pulling up carpet will do that, Jenna said. But this is the man who's been doing most of the heavy lifting.
Not really, Seth said, and introduced himself.
Vanita had joined them now, too, and she was looking at Seth the way he'd looked at Jenna's brownies. Jenna told me she had a new handyman, Celeste said, giving him one of her famous flirty smiles. Counting Pete, that brings me up to 1.5, Jenna said.
I could always use a handyman, said Vanita.
Do you come as far as Linwood?
Afraid not, he said.
He's only helping out until he gets his business off the ground, Jenna explained.
Oh, what's that? Vanita asked. Mold removal, said Seth. The houses down here at the water battle it a lot.
And no, you don't have mold, Celeste said to Vanita, which made her frown.
I could find some, she said.
Sorry, Jenna said to Seth. We don't let her out of her cage very often. Vanita stuck out her tongue at Jenna.
Good to meet you, he said. You all have fun tonight.
Then, with a polite smile and a nod, he left them.
Wow, Celeste said, watching his truck drive off. You weren't kidding when you said he's gorgeous.
Probably taken, anyway. The good ones always are, Vanita grumbled. Jenna started for the car. Come on, let's get your stuff unloaded. And they had plenty to unload. Good Lord, how many clothes did you need for a weekend? She asked as she helped them carry in their things.
There's more than our clothes in here.
Celeste held up a beach bag with a wine bottle peeking out the top.
We brought chocolate, wine, chips, and a makeover kit for you.
Jenna looked at her suspiciously.
What do you mean? Have you looked at your eyebrows recently?
Okay, so her sister had noticed.
We're doing your hair and your nails tomorrow, said Vanita, and I'm giving you my fabulous egg facial.
I thought you two wanted to go to the festival.
We do, but we're not taking you anywhere looking like you've been shipwrecked for months,
Celeste said. You need rehabbing even more than the driftwood.
And what about this plan to make me a ton of money?
We'll get to that, Celeste said breezily as they entered the house.
Aunt Edie, we're here!
There was no more talk of money-making schemes after that. Aunt Edie had to find out all about Vanita and get caught up on Celeste's life and latest This Is It love. Celeste produced a picture on her phone.
This is what I'm giving up for you and my sissy this weekend.
He is handsome, said Aunt Edie.
He was every bit as hot as Seth. That was a sacrifice, Jenna admitted.
But you're both worth it, Celeste said, and hugged her aunt.
I'm so glad you came down, Aunt Edie said. It's like old times having both you girls here. And lovely that you brought along a friend, she added, with a smile for Vanita.
We did come with a purpose in mind, Celeste said. We're going to kidnap Jenna tomorrow and take her to the casino.
The casino?
Where else are you going to get your hands on a big bundle of money interest-free?
Jenna blinked.
That's your big plan for getting money to fix the driftwood?
Don't knock it, Celeste said. One of the teachers at my school just won $20,000 at the Silver Wings.
Yeah, but how often does that happen? Jenna argued. The odds are always in favor of the house.
Not always, Celeste insisted. Anyway, all you've been doing is working. You could use an evening out with the girls. Couldn't she, Aunt Edie?
Yes, indeed, said Aunt Edie. I think you should go out and have some fun, dear.
Speaking of fun, where's my favorite niece? Celeste asked.
She's out in the kitchen, putting together a special appetizer for you, Aunt Edie said. She's becoming quite the queen of the kitchen.
All right. Let's go see what she's making and get this wine chilling, Celeste said, and started for the kitchen.
Sounds good to me, Vanita said, and followed her, leaving Jenna to trail behind.
The casino. That was the big idea.
Great. She'd just wind up throwing away $10, which was all she had in her purse.
If Celeste and Vanita wanted to eat dinner there, she hoped one of them was footing the bill.
Sabrina was making shrimp dip to go with the crackers she'd set out on a platter. At the sight of Celeste, she abandoned her mixing bowl and ran to hug her.
So you've missed your favorite aunt? Celeste teased. The one who always brings you chocolate-covered sunflower seeds?
Sabrina's eyes got big.
Did you?
Of course!
Celeste held up her beach bag of goodies. She grinned at Jenna.
And I brought...
Fritos, Jenna said, her mouth watering as her sister pulled out the bag.
Yes, because you can't go to the beach
and not have Fritos, Jenna finished with her.
Ah, traditions, Vanita said with a smile.
Are you going to the Sand and Surf Festival with us tomorrow? Sabrina asked. My friend Caroline and me...
And I, Jenna corrected.
And I are entering the sandcastle contest.
Well, then we'll have to go and take tons of pictures, said Celeste. Meanwhile, give me some of that shrimp dip. I'm dying to try it. Shrimp dip was followed by pulled pork sandwiches. Of course, Pete joined the women for dinner and was happy to let them know that he worked like a slave to help Edie and Jenna.
Even though I've got a bad back, he said, but you gotta keep moving.
He certainly did that, usually as far away from a job as he could get.
So that's Pete, huh? Celeste said later as they set up an extra cot in Jenna's room for Vanita. He's a character. Do you think Aunt Edie's got the hots for him?
You're the second person who's asked that. But no, ew.
Hey, even old people need love, said Vanita.
Aunt Edie's not that desperate, Jenna assured both them and herself.
Let's hope not, said Celeste.
Speaking of men, is your handyman taken? Vanita asked. He's gorgeous.
I think you scared him, Jenna said to her.
Hey, I was only being friendly.
More like scary, Celeste teased.
I think you'd have to fight Jenna for him, Celeste said, eyeing her sister.
Oh boy, warm cheeks. That meant a blush was forming.
Jenna turned away, busy with stuffing a pillow in a pillowcase.
Nothing happening there.
Yet, said Celeste. But hey, if you don't want him, gosh, he is tempting.
What happened to Mr. Perfect? Jenna demanded.
If things don't work out, it's good to have a backup plan.
He's not your type, Jenna said.
Who was she kidding? Every man was her adorable little sister's type.
Never mind him, Vanita said. I want to see that realtor who's been taking you to lunch. If you don't want him, I wouldn't mind doing some house hunting down here.
Vanita and Brody? Oh, they wouldn't be a match. She was funny and sweet and, well, who wanted someone funny and sweet these days?
Good grief! When had Jenna turned into Miss Piggy?
I don't think she wants to share, teased Celeste, the mind reader.
I don't have a collar on anyone, Jenna said quickly, and I'm through with men.
Man, corrected both Celeste and Vanita.
Anyway, we're just teasing, Vanita said. We wouldn't poach on your territory. Girlfriend code.
Well, Celeste said, pretending to consider the idea.
The doorbell rang, signaling the arrival of the first guest of the evening.
Come on, you wild things. Let me introduce you to my new posse.
Who can never take the place of your old posse? Vanita told her as they followed her out of the bedroom.
Of course not, she said with a smile.
By the way, Brittany would have come too, Celeste said, but she had to go to her cousin's wedding in Yakima. She says to let her know when you have your grand opening, and she'll come down for it. Mom wants to come down too.
If there ever was a grand opening. Jenna pushed the ugly thought away and shifted into party gear, introducing Vanita and Celeste to Courtney and Annie, who had come bearing Diet Pop and some of Annie's caramel corn.
This is amazing, Celeste told Annie, sampling some as soon as she'd set the bowl on the coffee table next to Sabrina's shrimp dip.
You could sell it.
Maybe someday I will, Annie said.
Nora was the next to arrive with Caroline, and she and Sabrina disappeared to the beach, but not before Nora gave them strict instructions to be back in the house by dark. Tyrella and Patricia arrived, one right after the other, and once everyone was settled with drinks and had gotten a chance to meet the visitors, Nora produced their evening's entertainment.
Clear the coffee table and bring out those old TV trays of yours, Edie, she said. And Jenna, get that old drop cloth I asked you to dig out and newspapers. Tonight, we're painting coasters with alcohol ink.
Celeste's eyes lit up. Like Jenna, she loved anything having to do with arts and crafts. The project turned out to be fun. Nora had provided everything necessary, including aprons for everybody so nobody's clothes would get wrecked. Jenna wound up making a set of tiles to use as coasters, done in shades of blue, a couple of seascapes showing the ocean at night under a full moon to represent her new home, and a couple with trees in full bloom, bathed in moonlight.
"Those are lovely," Aunt Edie said. "You do have such flair."
"Flair? Ha! Take that, Damien."
"I think I'll give them to Mom for Christmas," Jenna decided.
"She'll love them," said her aunt.
"I suck at this," Vanita said, looking at her bleeding blobs of color in disgust.
Celeste looked over her shoulder.
"Modern art."
"Mess," Vanita corrected.
"I'm not very good either," said Annie.
"That's because you use all your genius in the kitchen," Courtney told her. "Someday she's going to have her own restaurant," she said to Vanita and Celeste.
"I just want my food truck," said Annie.
"Lose the creep, and maybe someday you'll get it," Courtney said, and snapped her gum. Annie bit her lip and stared at her tile.
"I can't."
"Yes, you can. You can move in with the Gerards. Emma's over there most of the time anyway."
"Okay, I'll leave my husband when you leave your job," Annie replied with a flare of uncharacteristic fire, and Courtney blushed and shut up.
"How's he doing?" Nora asked Annie.
"He missed his last two AA meetings," Annie said with a sigh.
"There's your proof he really doesn't want to change," Courtney told her. "Did I mention that this is often a therapy session?" Tyrella said to Vanita. "Girlfriends are the best therapy," Vanita said, and they usually have really good advice. Honey, your man's no good, Tyrella told Annie. That's no shame on you. It's just the truth.
I understand you're wanting to stay, Patricia said. As women, we take our marriages seriously.
Are you suggesting she stay with him? Courtney looked outraged.
No, I do understand her reluctance to leave, though. It's hard to let go. And scary.
But if you leave, maybe a new door can open up somewhere else, Jenna said. And then you walk through it and fall through the rotten floorboards.
Everyone has to make their own decision when it comes to their personal life, Aunt Edie said later, when the women had left and it was just her, Jenna, Celeste, and Vanita. You can't force people to do what's right for them, and chances are you don't even know what's right for them. That's something everyone has to figure out for herself.
Too bad you couldn't force people to make wise decisions. If you could, then both Mom and Graham would have saved Jenna from marrying Damien, but then she wouldn't have had Sabrina. Anyway, the past was the past.
What about the decisions she was making now? Had it been wise to come here? Was she crazy to keep trying to pull together her aunt's dream, even when it was looking more and more impossible? But it was her dream too now, and she wanted it to come true.
She was still awake long after Celeste and Vanita were happily snoring. She slipped out of bed, leaving Celeste to instantly spread out and take over her side, and walked to the window. The night was dark and still. The moon was casting the dune grass in a soft glow. She caught the flicker of a fire on the beach and had a strong suspicion who was out there. She couldn't sleep. Everyone else was asleep. So, of course, it was only natural she take a little midnight stroll. Right? She pulled on some sweatpants, grabbed her flip-flops, and slipped out of the room. She grabbed her fleece jacket from the downstairs closet and made her way over the dunes to where Seth sat propped against a log, legs stretched out toward the fire, drinking beer.
Want company? She asked,
then joined him without waiting for an answer.
I guess I do. I thought you and your sister would still be up yakking.
She had one too many glasses of wine. It puts her out like a light. She approves of my hunky handyman, by the way.
Hunky?
Uh-oh. Had she just said that?
You told her I was hunky?
Well, you are, and you know it. He chuckled.
So, you've been talking about me?
I've been telling her about everyone down here.
Oh.
No more chuckling.
The house peddler, too, I guess.
Yes, my friend Vanita wants to meet him. She claims she's looking for a rich man.
How about you, Jenna? You looking for a rich man? It'd come in pretty handy right about now, wouldn't it?
He sounded almost surly. How much have you had to drink?
Not nearly enough.
He took a final swig and crushed the can, tossing it aside. I hope you're going to pick up after yourself, she said primly.
Of course I am. I never leave a mess. Only in my personal life, he added sourly and grabbed another can.
Yes, he'd been drinking too much.
How was the hen session?
You're good with the flattery tonight, aren't you?
That's me. I guess I'm a little jealous. Nice to have friends. Women are good at that kind of thing.
We are more communal than you men, she said.
So, how's the commune?
Good. We're trying to convince one of our members to leave her husband.
I'm sure he'll appreciate that.
He's abusive. Seth popped the tap on his beer.
If he is, then she should get out of there. I met enough of those assholes in the joint.
Maybe you should talk to her, Jenna suggested, suddenly inspired. Give her a man's perspective.
She doesn't have any other men in her life? No dad? No brothers?
I don't know.
She probably does. She's just not ready to listen.
Jenna frowned into the fire. Aunt Edie said as much.
Your aunt's a smart woman.
Most of the women in my family are.
But not you?
Not always.
Well, I'm not one to talk, he said.
You were young and noble.
And dumb and impulsive. Being impulsive gets you nowhere.
She found herself wishing he'd be impulsive and kiss her. He shifted his gaze from the fire to her face.
I've learned a thing or two about not giving in to every crazy thought that comes into my head.
She was having a crazy thought right now. Yeah?
Yeah. What are you doing out here, Jenna?
She realized she'd been leaning in toward him. She seemed to be making a habit of that lately. She pulled back. I couldn't sleep.
I hear warm milk's good for that.
I don't like warm milk.
What do you like?
His voice was soft. She liked slow dancing and soft kisses on her neck, gentle fingers on her skin. Her eyes drifted shut. She felt his breath on her cheek. Then he was whispering in her ear.
Go to bed.
No kiss. Instead, he stood and poured his beer out on the fire, making it hiss.
It's getting late.
Chapter 16. To do. Party with the girls. Don't go crazy on the slots. Sabrina was off to the beach right after breakfast to start work on her castle with Caroline, but Celeste decreed that there would be no castle visiting until her sister had been turned into a living work of art.
You're getting awfully bossy in your old age, Jenna teased her. Who's the older sister here?
Celeste grinned.
It's my turn to be bossy. You bossed me around enough when we were kids.
She sobered. You also watched out for me. I used to have nightmares, she explained to Vanita. She always let me sleep in her bed when that happened.
That was no big deal, Jenna said, shrugging off the cloak of nobility. Noble was taking the fall when your sister shot someone.
She was always helping me, Celeste continued, taking on mean girls who picked on me, helping me with my homework.
Yelling at you when you read my journal, Jenna added.
Okay, so it wasn't all perfect, but close enough. Now quit stalling and let's get those brows waxed.
The eyebrows were waxed, the nails got painted, and the hair color updated. Then out came the eggs and lemon juice for Vanita's egg facial.
My face is set in cement, Jenna complained, trying to move her mouth.
She can still talk. Put on more, teased Celeste.
At last, Jenna was prettied up, painted up, and had slipped into shorts, a nice top, and sandals.
Oh, yeah. There's the sister I know and love, Celeste said, giving an approving nod.
The sand and surf festival was a big deal with what seemed like every foot of beach occupied by a team of builders erecting some sort of sand creation, and people from all over the county present to enjoy the spectacle. In addition to all manner of traditional castles, there were other creations, too. Neptune's Court, complete with mermaids and starfish. A farm, sporting a pig, a horse, and a farmer and his wife, and sand cornstalks. A sand submarine. Trolls. And sand sea monsters galore. Jenna's favorite was a sandscape labeled Reverse Safari that had jungle animals in a jeep checking out the humans' campsite. The revelers strolled among the various creations, enjoying everything from cotton candy to shaved ice. At the water's edge, children and dogs raced back and forth, playing tag with the tide. Several people had set up campsites and were enjoying picnic lunches or a beach fire.
This is too cool, Vanita said, looking around. I want to move to the beach. Maybe I'll open up a little shop down here.
Or write that novel you keep talking about writing, said Celeste.
Next summer, I'll come down and spend my whole vacation, Vanita vowed. I'll stay at the Driftwood Inn and write. Fresh air, walks on the beach, no office drama. This is the life, she said to Jenna.
Oh, yeah, no drama here, Jenna said, thinking of everything she still had to pull together if she and her daughter and Aunt Edie were going to survive. They'd all gotten corn dogs and were watching Sabrina and Caroline try to keep their castle walls from collapsing, when Brody found them. He was wearing shorts, a t-shirt and sandals, and Ray-Bans. Oh, he did fill out a t-shirt nicely.
Who's that? Vanita asked as he waved to Jenna and started walking toward them. I bet that's the realtor, Celeste said, checking him out over the top of her sunglasses. You sure are getting a nice man collection, big sister.
I'm not collecting, Jenna replied.
No, sir, not her. Introductions were made and plans shared.
The casino, huh? I didn't know you were a high roller, Brody said to Jenna.
I'm not. I'm not even a low roller. This is my sister's crazy idea. She's sure I'll win big and live happily ever after.
You could land in that lucky 5%, Brody said, but I wouldn't hold my breath.
Oh, well, it will be fun anyway, Celeste said.
They've got a good restaurant there. How about I take you ladies to dinner? Brody offered.
Great idea, Celeste said before Jenna could answer. That way you'll have more money to invest in the slot machines, sis.
Invest, right.
I'm only taking $10, Jenna said.
In that case, we may as well have dinner late, because you won't be staying long afterward, Brody said.
Fine with me.
Okay, that made her sound like a party pooper.
But it'll be fun to go out to dinner. Are you sure you want to pay for all of us? She asked Brody later, as Celeste and Vanita helped the girls with their sandcastle.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to hanging out with three beautiful women. Anyway, it's been a while since I've been to the casino. Should be fun.
It probably would. With Sabrina spending the night at Nora's house, Jenna was free of responsibility, and Aunt Edie was currently engrossed in a gory murder mystery, so she didn't have to feel guilty for leaving her alone. Well, not too guilty anyway. She suspected that her aunt would have loved to tag along and get some cheap thrills watching her lose her $10, but Brody was already paying for dinner for three women. She didn't want to add another meal to the tab. The Sea Winds Resort and Casino was a mile outside of town, set back from the highway and perched on the shore. Much of the area had once been marsh. Now it was all landscaped with smooth, paved road.
Check out the speed limit, Brody said.
21 miles an hour? That's weird, said Celeste.
21.
Oh, I get it, said Vanita.
Like the card game. Pretty clever.
And just plain pretty, Jenna thought as they drove over a pond thick with lily pads. The resort hotel was big and impressive, and the restaurant provided a million-dollar view. Being at the beach, it also offered plenty of seafood, including salmon, crab cakes, crab legs, and shrimp scampi. The women all ordered crab legs. Brody opted for steak.
I so need to move to the beach, Vanita said after she'd popped the last bit of crab in her mouth. I can make that happen, Brody told her.
Maybe you win big tonight and come up with a down payment, Celeste said. Speaking of winning, let's hurry up and finish so we can get to the casino.
And say goodbye to our money, thought Jenna. But, oh well, what was $10 when she needed thousands?
They finished the meal with chocolate lava cake and coffee, then made their way to the other end of the resort. The casino area of the resort was one gigantic playland of brightly lit machines and people happily pushing buttons on them. Zips and whirs greeted Jenna as she and her posse and their escort walked in. This was the goofiest idea her little sister had come up with since the time she begged Jenna to go into Seattle and audition for America's Got Talent. Jenna had refused to wear a giant yellow duck costume and sing Rubber Ducky, and Celeste had pouted for a week. At least Celeste wasn't asking her to make a fool of herself publicly, and all those big, grown-up toys did look fun.
It has kind of a carnival air, doesn't it? She said to Brody.
Yeah, it does, and it can be exciting, but you can lose on carny games, so I never spend beyond what I've set as my limit for the night.
Well, mine's $10, Jenna told him. 20, Celeste corrected her, handing over a 10. It's the least I can do to help Aunt Edie. If you win big, I'd better get a free room for life.
I'm not sure how big you're going to win on 20 bucks, Brody cautioned. He dug out his wallet and took out a 20. So I'll contribute something to the cause.
Me too, said Vanita, pulling out another 10. Guys, I don't want to take your money, Jenna protested.
Never turn down free money,
Celeste told her.
We'll all split it if I win, Jenna promised. As if she would. Everything she knew about gambling wouldn't even fill a shot glass.
Nah, you keep it all. You need it, Brody said.
Can I get that in writing? She teased.
Hey, I'm a man of my word.
Now, come on, let's see if you get lucky, Celeste said, moving her toward the back of the room where the dollar machines were. They passed a machine with a pretty picture of perfume on it.
Parfume adore, she read, and started for it.
No, that's only a penny slot, Celeste said, pulling her away. We want a bigger jackpot. Oh, look, there's Willy Wonka.
Keep moving, High Roller, said Brody. We want the dollar slots.
At last, they were to the big money machines.
If you're going to win anything, you're probably going to win it on the mega slot, he said.
I had no idea you were such a big gambler, she said to him. He shrugged.
I come in once in a while and drop a few dollars here or at the card table.
The slot machine he and Celeste positioned her in front of wasn't as cute as the one with the perfume bottle on it, but once she started playing, it was certainly as much fun as the other machine had looked.
Hit the max button, Brody instructed her. It's going to cost you more, but the payout is better.
Gambling 101. Okay, Jenna said, ready to try. The numbers on the right-hand side of the machine began to climb.
Whoa, you're already up to $170, cried Vanita.
Small potatoes. She needed more than that. Jenna kept playing.
280, Vanita reported. Then,
oh no, it went down. Jenna pulled away her hand. I should stop.
Keep playing, Celeste commanded. Go big or go home.
The numbers began to climb again, the machine partying with every match of the bars, serenading them with synthetic drums and violins. Jenna's rooting section began to go crazy, and that brought some observers.
You know, I won $19,000 just last week, a woman reported.
The numbers continued to go up, right along with Jenna's heart rate. This was insane. She should quit before she lost everything she'd won. She could envision a little Tyrella sitting on her shoulder saying,
No good can come of this. Gambling is dangerous.
Well, all of life was a gamble.
Oh my gosh, look what she's up to, Vanita squealed.
The pressure. Jenna was going to pass out any minute, or have a heart attack, or both.
Quit while you're ahead, advised one woman.
No, said the $19,000 winner. You're on a roll.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner, Celeste said. And a new roof.
Jenna hit the max button again. Finally, to her astonishment, she did hit it big. $80,000. The machine lit up like the 4th of July and locked. Jenna gasped.
You just won $80,000, Celeste shrieked and grabbed her and hugged her as their crowd of onlookers hooted and applauded.
I can't believe it, Jenna said. Somebody pinch me.
Don't tempt me, Brody said with a grin.
Thank you, Jenna said to Celeste and Vanita. She was laughing and crying. Then she was jumping up and down. We did it, Celeste cried, and she and Vanita hugged Jenna, and they all jumped up and down together.
Then Jenna turned to Brody.
Thank you, she cried, and kissed him.
It was a quick kiss, but it packed a wallop. Whether that was because she was high from having won a bundle, or because she'd just kissed a handsome man, was hard to tell. Either way, it was quite a kiss.
No, thank you, he said, still grinning.
What happens now? She asked him.
Security's been verifying your win. You'll probably see them any minute.
Sure enough, two security guards appeared bearing a bucket of ice with a bottle of champagne in it.
Congratulations, one of them said to Jenna.
I won, Jenna said to her, as if she couldn't see for herself. Well, Jenna was seeing for herself, and she still couldn't believe it.
What happens next? Vanita asked the guard.
I get a new roof, Jenna crowed. A roof, a roof, I get a roof!
We have a form for you to fill out, said the guard. We'll need your social security number and your address.
Millionaire Acres, Celeste cracked, and she and Jenna hugged each other again. Not only were their papers to be filled out,
there were pictures to be taken and Facebook announcements to be posted. "Winner, winner, chicken dinner," Celeste typed under the selfie of all of them that she posted on Jenna's page.